بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we begin inshallah with hadith number 49. It is similar to previous hadiths we discussed, and it is related with the times of prayers, mawaqit as-salat. And hadith number 49, and who would volunteer to read it for us? Yes, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
Narrated Sayyar bin Salama, I along with my father went to Abu Burza al-Aslami, and my father asked, how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray the obligatory prayers? Abu Burza said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to offer the Zuhr prayer, which you people call the first one, at midday as soon as the sun declined. The Asr at a time when, after the prayer, a man might go to the house at the farthest place in Al-Madina and arrive while the sun was still alive. I forgot what he said about the Maghrib prayer. The Prophet loved to delay the Isha, which you call Al-Atama, and he disliked sleeping before it and speaking after it. After the Fajr prayer, he used to depart when a man could recognize the one sitting beside him, and he used to recite between 60 to 100 ayat of the Quran in the Fajr prayer.
Very well. Again, the hadith is an emphasis to what we have mentioned before, and that is the times of prayer are recognized by observing the sun. And in the hadith, what is a little bit different than before is, for example, Maghrib. He forgot what Abu Barzah, may Allah be pleased with him, said about it. But we know that the time of Maghrib starts when? When the sun sets. So as soon as the sun sets, this is the time of Maghrib. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام used to like to delay the time of Isha. But again, in the previous hadith, we mentioned that it depends on the people. So if the people were present, he would pray Isha after the Adhan. But if they did not come, he would wait, and he would wish to postpone it until the third of the day is gone. Or that is, until the third of the night is gone, and sometimes close to the middle of the night. However, the Prophet did not do this all the time, alayhi salatu wasalam, but he wished that his people, his ummah, would postpone it, but knowing that this might burden them, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he did not made it part of the obligatory things. And the last phrase, it says that the Prophet used to, alayhi salatu wasalam, did not recommend, did not like, he disliked sleeping before it and speaking after it. What is it? Salatul Isha. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام did not like sleeping before it, meaning between Maghrib and Isha. Why would he not like something like that? Because it would result that people would stay up late. And this was not his sunnah. His sunnah was to sleep after Isha. And not only that, a nation that sleeps a lot is unproductive. It would not be able to produce. Unfortunately, nowadays, in most Muslim countries, when does the day begin? At what time? Here in India, what are the working hours? 8? At 10? This is extremely late, because if you work at 10, you will finish probably at 6, maybe 7. What remains of the day? The whole day is gone. The Islamic working hours would be after Fajr. And you work up till Dhuhr, maybe at 1 or 2 o'clock, and that is it. You utilize the rest of the day for whatever you want to do, because there is lost time between Fajr and your working hours. In Arab countries, some Arab countries start their day at 7. Some start at 8, The maximum they would start is at 9, from 9 till 5. This is the Western way of doing it. However, this is too late again. The Prophet's way, the Prophet's Sunnah alayhi salatu wasalam, is that after Isha, you go to bed. And mostly, they used to wake up in the middle of the night at 12 o'clock, at 1 o'clock, and they spend the rest of the time praying from 1 up till Fajr prayer. And then they pray Fajr and then they go. And this is unlike what we're doing nowadays. We try to stay as late as possible, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and we sleep for 2-3 hours, go to Fajr, we don't know what we're reciting in Fajr. And then we go back to sleep and go to our work. So our day is completely out of context. We don't have any productivity during the day. The Prophet ﷺ did not like speaking after Isha, chit-chatting. Unless it's an emergency or for something that is related to Islam or propagating of Islam, making da'wah, calling people, or having guests. And this is rare, it is not the norm. If you look at the Muslims nowadays, after Isha, what do? They spend this time in watching movies, in listening to music, in chit-chatting, in anything that is not useful for them. But this was not the way. They used to work all day long, and they used to rest and prepare for prayer all night long, or most of the night, because they knew the reason they were on this earth for, and that is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. In Sahih Imam Muslim, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam once asked his companions after Fajr. So Fajr is the beginning of the day. So he said, who among you is fasting? Abu Bakr said, I am Prophet of Allah. And then the Prophet said, who among you has visited a sick person? Visited someone who is a patient. And Abu Bakr said, I am the one, the Prophet of Allah. I did that already. Who followed a funeral until it was buried? Abu Bakr said, I did. Who fed a poor person? And Abu Bakr said, I did. All of these four tasks, and it is Fajr prayer. When did he do all of this? Meaning that his night was not spent in sleeping, it was spent in righteous deeds. The Prophet said, alayhi salam, by Allah, these four deeds, if they were combined in one day, in one person, he will be among those who enter Jannah. So we are wasting our time. We are wasting our lives doing things that do not benefit us. And that is why we have to try our best to sleep early, because the early birds usually get all the barakah. The Prophet ﷺ said, may Allah bless the early times of my ummah. بُورِكَ لِأُمَّتِي فِي بُكُورِهَا. If my ummah start their day early, Allah will bless that for them. So this is a part of the sunnah alayhi salatu wasalam. Also in this hadith, the companion Abu Barzah, may Allah be pleased with him, says that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would conclude his Fajr prayer when a person recognizes the one next to him. He did not say when the person recognizes everybody, meaning it is still dark. And this emphasizes the point that we spoke about earlier, that the sunnah is to offer Fajr prayer when it is dark, not to wait until it's light. Also, he says that he used to recite between 60 and 100 verses of the Quran. So even if he prolonged the prayer, starting at when it's really dark, if he prolongs the prayer until it's light, this is okay. Do you remember what is the name of the darkness of Fajr? We mentioned that last time. It's called ghalas. Ghalas. And to do this action is called taghlis. And what is the name of praying it when it's about to be light, when the whole world is lit but the sun did not rise? Isfar. It's called isfar. So this is the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam regarding these prayer times. Move on to the following hadith, hadith number 50. We have two hadiths here, 50 and 51. We will give it one go, inshallah.
Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported, when it was the day of the Battle of Ahzab, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah fill their graves and houses with fire as they detained us and diverted us from the middle prayer till the sun set. Muslim. Not complete sentence, couldn't find actually. Abdullah bin Masood reported that, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, reported that the polytheists detained the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from observing the afternoon prayer till the sun became red or it became yellow. Upon this, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they have diverted us from offering the middle prayer, that is the Asr prayer. May Allah fill their bellies and their graves with fire. Or he said, may Allah stuff their bellies and their graves with fire. Muslim.
This battle, the Battle of Al-Ahzab, does it have another name? Anyone?
It is Al-Khandaq.
Al-Khandaq, this is correct. And Al-Khandaq means the trench. This battle took place in the fifth year of Al-Hijrah. And this battle was not that they had a lot of fights and a lot of casualties. On the contrary, it was anticipation. And what importance did this battle have? This is, inshallah, what we will find after the break. So stay tuned.